Cedric Muhammad.
All right, let's go into entrepreneur number two. No, number four. The fourth entrepreneur is important because this person exemplifies the dilemma between someone who's trying to build a business to give back to their community and make money and follow business principles. And I'll say this again, a lot of people that are big on ideology, black power, group economics, build up the hood, you don't follow business principles. So it doesn't go very far. So this young Caucasian from Indiana, I think, exemplifies how to do it. Not leave the people behind, but at the same token, make sure that what you do is profitable. Let me go to this audio right away. Again, Shark Tank on Tuesday nights in the United States, 9 p.m. ABC. Okay? So I call him the Soy Dough Entrepreneur. We'll talk about him. He's from Indiana.
Next up is Sawyer Sparks, a college student with big ambitions for his small hometown.
My name is Sawyer Sparks. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Bloomfield, Indiana, and I'm a college student. My first year of college, one of my favorite professors and her five-year-old child mentioned that they had celiac disease, which means they were allergic to wheat. Because of this allergy, her child could not play with the traditional modeling clay, like Play-Doh, that we all grew up with because they all contain wheat. So I created Sawyer Dough, a wheat-free, soy-based modeling clay. Welcome to the world headquarters of Sawyer Dough in my mom's kitchen. This is my mom, Sue. She does all the kneading. This is my girlfriend, Sammy, who does all the mixing, and I do all the stirring here at the stove. And we do this day in and day out, every day with orders. This business isn't just about making money. It's about helping all the people in the community that I grew up with.
Congratulations. Glad to see you come home.
Yes, thank you. What I really want to do is expand my business, open up a factory in Bloomfield, Indiana, and create jobs in my community. My name is Sawyer Sparks, and my product is Sawyer Dough. I'm asking for a $125,000 investment for 25% of my company. The traditional modeling clay that we all grew up with is wheat-based, which causes children with an aversion to wheat to feel completely left out. So I invented Sawyer Dough, the first and only patented modeling clay that is gluten-free, non-toxic, and fun-scented.
Oh, it smells like cherry.
Yes, and it smells best if you break them apart.
What percentage of the children population have this problem?
Actually, 1 in 8 children. Our competitor sells 96 million containers of this size a year. 1/8 of that is 12 million containers per year. So there's a huge market for this.
How much of this have you sold?
We have sold 8,000 containers since that's when this began, and we just last week got an order for 11,000 containers.
Wow.
The 8,000 you sold were a result of your online sales?
Online sales,
How proprietary is this product? Is there a patent of any kind on it?
Yes, mine. It has a provisional patent on it.
Where are you manufacturing this?
Out of my kitchen at home, actually.
How are you doing that?
It's my mom, me, and my girlfriend.
You just cook it yourself?
We just cook it ourselves, yes. We can only make 12 containers per 10 minutes.
Have you approached any toy makers? Have you tried to license this to Play-Doh?
I have been contacted by Play-Doh, though.
For what?
About this, to purchase it.
Okay, now let me butt in here. This is the question now. Is he going to build and empower his community through this business venture? He says that's very important to him. Or is he going to quote-unquote sell out? Can he do both? Can he help his community by selling to the multinational corporation and using that money? Or should he hold on to the business, the majority stake of it, and continue to build it from the ground up at a much slower pace? Now, some people out there talk all that radical ideology, but you have never been presented with a check for $1 million. And some of you claim to be building wealth for the community when all you're doing is just building wealth for yourself. So this entrepreneur from Bloomingdale? I forget where he's from. He's from Indiana. I'll read a story about him a little later. This is now the dilemma that he's in. Listen up.
Wait. Wait.
And what happened?
And what did they have to say?
They love it. They want it. And we've been negotiating because they want this patent.
So the largest player in the space contacted you License your patent.
Sorry, multiple times?
Multiple times.
And where is that negotiation at this point?
At this point, I want to create jobs in my community.
Wait. You want to sit in your mother's kitchen table baking this stuff when the number one guy in the world is calling you?
No, he wants the whole neighborhood to sit in his mother's kitchen baking this stuff.
Why would you bake one more cup of this stuff when the number one guy on earth is banging at your door?
Because
this is a very important moment for you, because it's going to tell me whether you're sane or insane.
No, because honestly, I really feel that if they purchased this patent from me, we would never see it again.
Wait, maybe that's true, but how much are they going to purchase it?
That's still negotiation.
And is it? Do you need some help in negotiating that?
Yeah.
Have they made you an actual offer?
Through my lawyers, but not.
What was their price?
There's been different offers. The highest. Been around $500,000.
You had an offer for $500,000. This is you're a college student,
but I really feel that. And a year, 2 years down the road, I can honestly sell 12 million of these containers.
Are you a wealthy guy, Sawyer?
No.
Didn't the $500,000? I'm just curious. Didn't it tempt you?
To my parents, yes.
What about your girlfriend?
Yes.
What's your idea about employing people? I just feel like I don't have my finger on your motivation.
This is it right here. One of the sharks is saying, what is all this talk about you wanting to give back to your community, employing people? How would you have done when faced with that question from pure venture capitalist entrepreneur? She's almost mocking him. What is all this about giving jobs to your own?
My motivation is to create jobs, to make sure that there's a product for these 1/8 of the market.
Play-Doh can do that.
Not with a wheat-free market.
You're sure your patent excludes them from ever doing a wheat-free product?
Yes.
Outstanding, young man. Outstanding. Mm-hmm. I rarely see an opportunity like this from the license front. This is a wonderful opportunity.
Thank you.
Sawyer, I have great news for you. Thank goodness we've met. My whole business career was built around licensing properties. Done it hundreds of times. I'll give you $125,000 for 51% of your patent. I'll tell you why I'm doing that. I'm doing it to take you out of the equation. And I promise you, you'll get a better deal than the one you're getting right now when I sit down with your friends at Play-Doh.
Sawyer said no to $500,000 in cash from Play-Doh, but you're proposing...
He's going to make much more than $500,000 when I'm your partner. Much more. Much more.
But you're taking control.
Yes, because I...
So you could sell it for... $600,000. There's nothing
Robert,
you can do.
You're just making noise to me.
Look at Kevin.
Let me sweeten my offer because this is noise. I'm tired of listening to it. Here's a better deal for you. We'll keep it this way: 51% for $125,000, and you don't have to close until I finish the negotiations with these guys. If you don't like the deal, walk away.
I'm going to be your advocate right now because I know about licensing, but honestly, I think he's giving you an incredible deal. I consider this what we call a YOLO moment. You only live once. All right? And to make sure that I don't compete, because I think that is a really good deal, I'm out.
I'm going to get rid of the clutter. I think a specialist in licensing like Kevin O'Leary is a good partner to have, so I'm going to bow out.
He's a natural partner for you, and I don't even like the guy. So for me to endorse him is shocking to myself. I'm out.
You just want to raise some cash to do what?
To build a facility in my community.
Let me tell you something, my friend. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is much better, and I want to get you there. You'll find many ways to create jobs when you have the capital to build businesses. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How much do you love money? Do you love it as much as I do?
Probably not. I'm a college student, and I just need money for beer, I guess.
This is such what I do. This is in my blood, what you're doing here. There is no person better on earth to be in your shoes than me. Believe me, we need to be partners on this. Are we going to be in business or not?
I love your offer, and I definitely feel that I do need help with this, and but not for 51%. Could you do $125,000 for 40%?
Here's the problem. Let me explain the problem.
The reason I need 51% is when I begin negotiations, the other side has to know that I have the ability to close.
But I can still give you the ability to close.
No, you see, having negotiated this license hundreds of times before, you're going to have to trust me. I would never, ever do this without having the ability to go in there and come back with a deal that's significantly superior. And if you tell me one of the attributes is you have to create jobs, I'll get that for you. I'm willing to bend over backwards to get you happy in the structure of the deal, but I have to walk in there with 51%, and I swear I'll come out of there with something you can't even dream of.
Sawyer, it's a great speech.
And it's true.
Right? And you know what, Sawyer? I almost believed it for a second. But I think you did an excellent job today of seeing through the fluffiness and into what it really is, just greed. I'll give you the $125,000 for the 40%.
I'm going to cry.
So where,
I can't take it.
When planning for retirement these days, the forecast is full of ifs. If I'm too exposed to downturn.
Sawyer has two offers on the table. Kevin O'Leary has offered $125,000 for 51% of the company, but Robert has outbid him, offering the same amount for only 40% of the company.
What's your plan?
Wait. He's never, ever. I've done what I've just described to you 100 times, and the proof is in the pudding.
My only problem is that I need ownership.
I don't want ownership. What I want is the ability to close.
What's 51%?
You can't close if you own less than 51. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
It does make sense. You know, the reason you don't know this is you've never done it, which is why his offer is useless to you. You need a guy that's actually done it.
I'm not going to sell you that hard. I don't feel a need to. I think you're a smart guy. I think you did a good job. I think that you're very clear with what you want.
With that offer, what is your plans with this business?
I mean, I think that my plan with it is to keep doing what you're doing, negotiate hard with Play-Doh, and try to get money. I'm really impressed by what you've built. It's $125,000. We do both, negotiate with Play-Doh, keep selling it. I mean, you sold 11,000 units. It's remarkable. I don't know what to say.
So you have two deals on the table. One who wants to control your company, the other one who doesn't know about licensing.
You know, the problem, and I understand your concern about the 51%, and I'm struggling because
if the 51% with you can't change, then give me a better money offer.
Is my offer off the table, Sawyer?
No, I'm not saying that.
What's most important to me is that we are going to go down the path to negotiate a license. That's what matters to me.
Right. If you allow him to negotiate on your behalf with 51%, then I'll give you $200,000.
Damon has come back in, adding $200,000 to Kevin O'Leary's offer, if Sawyer will allow Kevin to negotiate for him.
I'll go down that road. I'll put in another $125,000.
Let's do this. Each of us is going to put in $100,000 for a total of $300,000 for 51% of the company. And you know why it has to be 51%. That's the offer. What are you going to do?
The Sharks have offered Sawyer $175,000 more than what he came in seeking, but he must give up 51% of his company.
We're going to make a lot of dough with this dough. Congratulations, guys.
All right. Yes. Yes.
Wow. One lucky kid.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Sure. Very
absolutely
impressive.
Thank you very much.
You suck it up.
Yeah. Thank you.
I feel
great.
I feel better about that.
Look, I had to have that.
Guys, you want me to be really honest?
Yeah.
You guys screwed me out of one or two deals. I was just botching it. I didn't even think I was going to get in there. But I'm in, baby. Yeah.
It's a great deal for my community, and it's for you, Bloomfield, Indiana. Thank you very much, everybody, for your community and support.
Ooh, I love this. I love this so much, I had to put a Knife Wonder instrumental underneath my voice right now. Ooh. Some great comments. I'm going to read them in a moment. I like what the young entrepreneur did. Some of you may not like it. I like what he did. He never got off of his message of community development. He sincerely wants to create jobs in his hood. But he knew he needed help. And he wasn't going to get the help if he maintained ownership. Now let's get into it. We're gonna talk about Brick City next hour, but I want to get into this. And if we carry it over into hour number five, what would you have done? Now one of the sharks was a little too nice. He was too casual. This young entrepreneur needed help, so he tried to soft sell him and didn't work. Say what you want about Kevin O'Leary, the shark that said he wanted 51%. But he has a clear self-enlightened interest. Many of us in business have no clear interest. So we end up owning 100% of nothing because what we build doesn't grow. Because we are control freaks and we don't want to give up any ownership. Let me take a break. Send in your comments. What do you think? I'm going to give you a little more background on this entrepreneur. I think he exemplifies the dilemma and really something positive in the entrepreneurial experience. How do you stay connected to your community and let others benefit from your business working and you following true scientific business principles? We'll be right back. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, September 30th, 2009. Ooh, let me read your comments. Ooh. Next hour, Brick City review parts 3, 4, and 5. I've seen them all. Rod from California, Culver City. He says there's a Korean barbecue truck out here that maintains a Twitter account so that his loyal customers can know how to keep up with his locations. He says, so Twitter has its place in business for sure. My chef son and I have a line of canned and frozen food products and we're trying to get them into Costco. Their central buying staff have given us a positive response to 3 of them. So you'll be hearing from us soon, I hope. I'm seeing Twitter in our business future. Uh-oh. Rod has come a long way on Twitter. We'll play the audio of Texas Tech's football coach saying that people who use Twitter are narcissists. Narcissism and neurosis, important concepts for entrepreneurs to nail down. Madris Guy Edgewood, Maryland says, this is how the rich stay rich. They want half of the business for only $50,000. It does not sound right to me. And this, the continuation of this show will be Celebrity Shark Tank. Saki says, 50 grand is nothing. B-side Banger says, I would have sold out for $500,000 and I'm out. Take the money and run. All you ideologues, until you get that offer, talk all that radical talk. But when you get that $500,000 check in front of you, it's a whole other story, right? Trent from Asbury Park, New Jersey says, Cedric, why do you seem confused by greedy businessmen and women? They want profit. Brother Cedric, and if that means slave wages or even better, slavery, then that is what it is. I think there are a greedy people with a greedy mindset that is detrimental to the human family. They don't give a damn about a community working. All they care about is profit. And if people have to die for profit, then so be it. Trent from Asbury Park, not holding back. Rod is sorry he missed the episode of Shark Tank last night. He says that's the best one yet, and that kid from Indiana is awesome. And Rod suggests that Shark Tank needs a regular segment that I can tie my book principles into. Well, yeah. The next semester of Black Electorate Economic University is going to revolve around my book and Shark Tank. You heard it here first. Okay? Now, let's find out a little bit more about this young man from Indiana who wants to make money and help out his community. There's an article from West Lafayette, Indiana, JC Online. Purdue student's idea nets $300,000. And I want to promote this young student. I'm going to put up his product. He makes a soy version of the Play-Doh, basically, because some people are allergic to wheat. There, you can see it right there on the screen. Sawyer Dough. I'm promoting him free of charge because I like how he gets down. A Purdue University senior who appeared on the ABC reality show Tuesday night, Shark Tank, received $300,000 from 3 investors who will help him market his gluten-free Play-Doh. Sawyer Sparks is the creator of Sawyer Dough, a gluten-free modeling dough aimed at kids and parents who are allergic to wheat. Sparks and his product were featured on Shark Tank, a show that pits entrepreneurs against five opinionated and successful millionaire investors. Each entrepreneur pitches why the sharks should invest money in their product. Sparks of Bloomfield was hoping to sell a 25% stake in his company for $125,000. He agreed to accept $300,000 in exchange for a 51% stake in his company. This is a college student putting his community first. I love it. Now, as I tweeted last night, and this was before he did it, I said that entrepreneur number four should force the two sharks to combine their bids. He needs what both of them have to offer to get what he wants, jobs and licensing. And that's exactly what he did. And then Damon of FUBU wanted to get in, so he threw his $100,000 in. Great move on his part. This is the show, among others, that young people need to watch. We have got to start putting an emphasis on the real world of business for our young people. There's no inconsistency in teaching the science of business to young people and consciousness in the terms of, I would say, cultural consciousness. I don't know why people think you have to pick. And I will say, as we get into Brick City and talk about Newark, New Jersey next hour, something is wrong if the only way that you can build a community is through nonprofits or through investment that comes outside of the neighborhood. So some of the people that have a problem with Cory Booker in Newark, I hear you, but what's the alternative that you're presenting? Your alternative is just to complain about government. You mean to tell me there's nobody in Newark, New Jersey that can unite or pull people's money together and pull in investors from Africa, perhaps? See, I understand what you're saying, that perhaps Cory Booker is too friendly to external forces, but what about the internal forces that you claim to understand so much? You can't have it both ways. You want to be the eternal critic of anybody who's in the establishment at the same time that you don't produce no alternative. None. You can't have it both ways. You can't say you are for community development and that you don't have any practical community development scheme. So if Cory Booker's not doing it right, who among you is doing it better? That's why I get tired of having to pick between whackness in the form of people who are selling us out and whackness in the form of people who talk a good game but don't deliver nothing. This is why I choose to talk about entrepreneurship right now. I could care less about the left-right political debate that many of you all want me to focus on. This is why I want to talk about the United States of Africa and the African Union rather than individual problems that African nations have with the West. So get ready. If you've seen Brick City, I want you front and center next hour. I'm going to play clips from the documentary. I'll give my 2 cents. And I'm going to give my opinion. Some of you may think it's controversial. You cannot leave the quote-unquote gang member, the so-called gang member, out of the equation. If you don't have any influence with the youth and there's someone who wears red or someone who wears blue or someone who wears black and gold that does, you have to respect the power of that. It's the same with hip-hop culture. So many old folks kept waiting on the hip-hop artist influence to die out. You wanted hip-hop to be a fad so bad so you wouldn't have to deal with it. But guess what? It didn't go nowhere. So 30 years after the fact, you finally decide, oh, I got to deal with hip-hop. It didn't go nowhere. I want real talk, man. Stop hiding behind ideology, man. Stop being parents. Let's talk for real. President Obama was elected, but many of our hallways still smell like urine the next morning. Come on. I love what I saw with this entrepreneur. Let me put the camera on me. Let me show you how much weight I've lost.
I think it's anywhere in between 10 and 12 pounds. So I'm on a regimen starting Friday. I just did 15 perfect push-ups. I used to do 400 push-ups a day. 400. I'm a long way from that. Got wiped out in August. Newark, New Jersey, the subject of the next hour, but it could be Camden, New Jersey, it could be Compton, California, it could be Atlanta, it could be Detroit. This whole concept of urban renewal. Can you get it done leaving out young people who are in quote-unquote gangs? Can you get it done if you're not going to get investments from Africa? I posed the question indirectly last week. You saw Cory Booker, who I think in many ways is a dynamic mayor. In other ways, I think he represents the challenge of the compromise that many of the young, bright ones like us, the cultural entrepreneurs, have to be careful of. And I don't know how some of you all can support Barack Obama and then be against Cory Booker so strongly. How does that work? Both of them have been groomed outside of the community. Both of them have affiliations that are not indigenous. What makes Cory Booker that much worse than Barack Obama? I mean, come on. Let's stop playing games. But the litmus test for me, as it relates to Mayor Booker, would Mayor Booker, who we know would accept money, investment for Newark, say from the Jewish community or from the Japanese community, there were some Asians that wanted to invest in Newark. You saw them sitting down with Cory in the last show. What about Muammar Gaddafi? What about investment from Hugo Chavez? If Hugo Chavez wanted to invest in the hood or Muammar Gaddafi, would Cory Booker be able to accept that? Or would that be politically impossible? See, so my question for a lot of the black nationalists, Pan-Africanists, is how strong are you? You can keep complaining about Cory, but are you strong enough to get things done? My approach is you got to deal with people like Muammar Gaddafi. You got to deal with the gangs, quote unquote. I call them street organizations. If you're talking community development, you can't leave young people out. You can't leave the Nation of Islam out. I just come straight out with it. Stop beating around the bush. And you can't leave out benevolent whites who sincerely want to do good and have money. Because I wonder, how can you take nonprofit contributions from Caucasians, but you can't take investment? What's the difference? I call it the misery industry. All of these nonprofits that pop up in the hood all across America to back things that the church, the mosque, and any reasonable, good-hearted person with any form of consciousness should be doing for free or in business. So Cory Booker is bad because he takes corporate money to invest in the city, but some of the nonprofits are good because they take corporate money to work among the homeless. What's the difference? The money is still coming from outside of the hood. So a lot of this is game playing that I don't care to participate in. It's the hottest show in the diaspora because we can talk about things like this. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Yeah, this is REM. Anybody got a problem with that? We'll be right back. Go tell somebody. I want to have a good conversation. I don't want anybody just agreeing with me or talking silly ideology. We'll be right back.
The home of the business and building movement. The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.